Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the last home group meeting of 2024. And I'll tell you, we've already had a wonderful time in God. And as we pray for those people, and I really believe God is going to do a work in out of our prayers. And I really enjoyed what Brother Ray shared about we will go into 25 as we go out of 24. And that was a great word also. And mm-hmm. We just had a wonderful time. And I just want to thank everybody that has listened over the last year and everybody that has come out to the home group meeting in 24. Thank you for your faithfulness. Because I tell you right now, if we cannot be faithful to God and to God's children, then I'm not sure God's obligation to be faithful to us. Because yes. Often God is to us what we are to God. If we want God to be loving and kind and merciful and all of those things, well, I think He expects a lot of that in our life also. Amen. Well, let's go ahead, and I don't think I'm going to finish all that I have prepared because of the prayer. I think maybe we'll do half or I don't know. We may finish it. I don't think so. The Lord, if He says finish it, we will. But in my spirit, I think we're going to go ahead and go about half of this. And what I would like to do, this would be ending that the series in God that I've been sharing called All Things Are Out From God. All things are out from God. And this would be part four, birth from above. Birth from above. But before we get going in that, I'd like to go ahead and look at part three, and that was the necessity of the cross. Let me say that again, the necessity of the cross. And I guess I shared that a couple of months ago. Brother Darrell did a great job last month, and I really enjoyed what he had to say. He really shared from his heart. He had his notes, and he just kind of stepped out of his notes and shared what God wanted to say. But anyways, so a couple months ago, I shared on the necessity of the cross. Now, the cross is not the one that we wear around our neck, that everybody makes a cross and stuff like that. That's not the cross that we're talking about. But we're talking about the work that God must do in us as we take up our cross, as we take up our cross. Who has Matthew 16, 24, and 25?
Me, I do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it.
Wow.
But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it."
Wow, did you hear verse 25? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake surely shall find it. So for us to find the life of God in our life, we must lose our life. And that's not a physical death, but that's more of a spiritual death. And Jesus said in verse 24, if we want to come after him or become like him in the Greek, then we have to take up our cross and deny ourselves. What a tremendous truth. But that truth is not taught in very many churches that I will tell you. We must also allow God to unfold Christ to us and bring into our experience all that is in Him. Let me say that again. You know, the last time I shared here, you know, we saw that how we must allow God to unfold Christ. We got to allow the things of Christ to be unfolded to us and discovered so it can be brought into our life and then bring those things into our experience with Him. If not, then we will never really understand what's going on. I really believe the disciples were not saved until Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came and moved within them. The Holy Spirit was instrumental in their life and around them, but Acts 2, then the Holy Spirit was in them, and then they were more profitable to God.
Amen.
Point four, and if planted into his death, then we shall be raised in newness of life. Who has Romans 6 and 5?
Me.
Amen.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his,
we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his.
Amen. For us to be able to experience resurrection, as Philippians 3:10 says, all that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. Well, only dead people are resurrected. You have to be dead to be resurrected. And so the only way for us to know the power of his resurrection is to die. That's a spiritual death that we must have so that we can be spiritually resurrected like he was resurrected physically from the Bible. Mm-hmm. As well as who has 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17?
I do.
Okay.
For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who live and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet.
Wow.
The Lord, and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Wow, amen. Amen. You know, in the Bible there's three resurrections. There was the resurrection of Christ. There was the resurrection that's going to happen, as mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, comfort each other with these words. And then the third resurrection is the resurrection of the unsaved that is in hell. They will be resurrected from the dead, and they will go to the great white throne judgment. And then from there, they're go off to, you know, the lake of fire. Amen. But anyways, unless we are baptized into the death of Christ, unless we die, and we will never ever be resurrected. Wow, tremendous point there, amen. Next point we looked at was, for this to happen, we must not draw upon ourselves or things of the world, but abide in him. Who's got verse number 4? John 15 and 5.
John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen. So we must abide in Christ so that the work of the cross can have its way in our life. The more we abide in Christ, the more the work of the cross, the more spiritual death we will have, and the more that life, the life of God, will be worked into our life. Mm-hmm. But sadly, I believe 70 to 80% of Christians live out from themselves. Now remember, this teaching is all things are out from God. And it's true. All things are out from God. But most Christians do not live out from God. Most Christians live out from themselves. Most Christians believe Jesus died to bring out our latent greatness, or to enhance the good things about us, or to fix up our old man and make him fit for God's use. But no, that's not why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to kill our flesh. That's the verses we've been reading. We're talking about that spiritual death. Jesus came so that we could die, and so that when we are resurrected spiritually, when we have that new birth, we're birthed from above, that we'll talk about in a minute, then God can live out through us. Wow. Jesus came to kill our flesh so that we can be a new creature. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:17? One of my favorite verses.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Wow.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Wow, boy, thank you. Boy, that's outstanding. All things, it says all things are passed away. Actually, in the Greek, it's passed over. And all things are become new. Wow. All of our newness is out from God in Christ. Let me say that again. All of that newness is out from God, and it is in Christ. And we bring nothing to our union with Christ. All things are from out of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, and he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That is how we are saved right there, believe it or not. It is not repeating the sinner's prayer. It is not walking the aisle. It is not this. But we believe that what Brother Ray just read you know, he read 2 Corinthians 5, things that all things are passed away and we are a new creation. When we truly believe that, when we really believe that, we are birthed from above, believe it or not, and our spirit is joined with the spirit of Christ. Wow. Our spirit is joined with the spirit of Christ, and that is what makes us a Christian. Now we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Amen?
Amen.
So now let's go ahead that's what we looked at a couple months ago. And so now part four, I like to look at birth from above. Amen? Birth from above, you know?
Yes.
You know, only those that are birthed from above or saved or born again, you know, that's the term in the Bible that you have, can pray, Our Father who art in heaven. You know that. Only a Christian, only a person that is really birthed from above, really a Christian, can pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Because not everybody on earth is a child of God.
Right.
Not everybody on earth is a child of God. Who has John 8:44?
Me.
Okay, John 8:44.
You belong to your father the devil, and wow. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
Yeah. Now, God wants everyone to be a child of God. That's his desire. He wishes none to be lost, no, not one. But however, now, not everyone is a child of God. Now, everyone may be born into the image of God, but they are not his children until they are birthed from above. So who has John 3:3? Okay.
Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one has been born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Unless someone be born again, in the Greek actually that is birth from above. Unless somebody has that birth from above, been born from above, from that spiritual union with Christ, they could never ever see the kingdom of God. Wow. Mm-hmm. We read earlier that only God can birth from above. A person has to be birthed from above by being joined to the Lord. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 6:17. Tremendous, tremendous truth. Without Christ in us, there is no birth and there is no life. Without Christ in us, there's, you know, we're all only dead men and women walking. Without being birthed from above, there's no birth. You know, there's just no life in us. But if Christ is in us, then we have all that is from out from God. Wow. Unless we have that life in us, we're dead men walking. Unless we are, you know, have Christ in us and we are in Christ, we are not saved. It doesn't matter what church you go to and what religious activity you do, and you speak in tongues and you roll on the floor and you do all of those things. No, no. You have to have Christ in you and you in Christ to be saved. Only that which is born of God is of God. Let me say that again. The only thing that is which is born of God is of God. Nothing that is birthed by man is of God. For example, how many of us understand that God must give birth to a church? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Just as he gives birth to people in it. People cannot simply decide to start a church and then hand it to God expecting that he will bless it. The mere fact that anything we birth is birthed by the flesh. So if God does not birth it, then it is birthed by the flesh and it's only going to produce flesh. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Amen? If it's birthed the flesh, then it will be flesh. Ought to tell us that it is not birthed of God. Amen?
Amen?
But for some strange reason, we think that we can do things for God that he will bless it. Or if we start something in the name of Jesus, that Christ will inhabit it. And we have this notion that if something is in our heart to do that which is in there, and because God put it there. No, it may be created and imitated by natural man. Not so much in rebellion against God, or to the disregard of him, but it may be a product of our own natural religious man thinking that it is our job to think up ways to keep God moving. Well, God needs no help. God needs no, he does not need us to do that which we need to do. What God needs from us is our commitment and dedication. Let me say that again. What God needs from us, he doesn't need our good ideas, he doesn't need our strength and our abilities and all that stuff. He gives all those to us anyways. But what God needs is our commitment, and he needs our dedication. In the end, if flesh births anything, it is of the flesh. And if at some point will produce the result that flesh produces. And flesh always produces loss. Yep. This is the model. Flesh always produces loss, destruction, and death. Those three things flesh always produces. And that's loss, destruction, and death. That it will serve self. It will serve the flesh because flesh gave its life. Look around in the church today. Everywhere you find the gospel of me, myself, and I. A gospel that says Jesus came to make you happy. No, he didn't.
That's right.
Jesus didn't come to make you successful. No, he didn't. Jesus didn't come to make you prosperous. No, he didn't. A gospel that says that Jesus came to bring out the best in you and help you find your truest self. This is flesh. No, no, no. That's not why Jesus came. We'll see later why Jesus came. But Jesus really isn't that concerned about making you happy and making you successful and all of those things. He's concerned about one thing, and that, or God is concerned about one thing, and that is conforming the character and the image of his Son in us. Galatians 4:19 is, God desires to form Christ in us. I believe most churches today, especially the ones that I've been to recently, have not been started by God. Let me say that again. Most churches that I've been to recently have not been started by God. They've been started by a denomination, or they've started by this or that. But if God wants to establish a church, then his presence will be there. There will be attributes there. And of course, if it's started by the flesh, it's only going to produce flesh. I remember when we lived in Georgia, we went to this one church called Greater Landmark Pentecostal Holiness Church. And we didn't know that it was a UPC church until later. And the pastor was kicked out of the church because he sold the church out from underneath the board. He had this big building and no people. This other pastor, UPC pastor, had no building and a bunch of people. And so the one pastor sold the church out from underneath of them. And the pastor bragged that all five churches in the Atlanta area all started out of church splits. And of course, we followed this one pastor out of that church, and we started a church in our home. And it was built and so forth. But all of these churches, they started with a church split because they were not initiated by God. They were not initiated by the Spirit. They were initiated by the flesh. And if flesh starts something, then flesh is going to cause it to be destroyed. And in the end, this church wasn't a money problem, wasn't a people problem. It was a spirit problem. It was a spirit problem, and the church ultimately collapsed. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus did not come to bless your natural man. He tells you to lose it. God wants to lose our natural man. He tells us that there's nothing in the natural man that is compatible with God. Rather, if you lose your life, you will find true life in God. And in Christ, all that we need, both materially and spiritual. Everything that we need in life is found in Christ. Let me say that again. Everything that we need in life,
that's right,
is found in Christ. The money, the material, the spirituality, everything that we need is found in Christ. Right. Most Christians want to use the things of God to support their self or to soften life's hard times. Well, that's not why God came, you know? God came so that he could kill our self-life. He could kill that old nature in us so that he could live through us. Amen? Amen. God wants our self to die so that he can live through us. Now, this is a hard message, I will tell you. This message will not be received in most churches today. I guarantee you. But this is the message of the New Testament. The message of the cross. This is the message that you would find in the epistles, you know. This is what Paul taught. This message here is death to ourself so that Christ can live through us. Alongside of the gospel of me is almost a complete blindness to Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let me say that again. Christianity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. If any man is in Christ, then he is a new creature. Wow, we just read that. And in Christ are all things that are out from God. Yet today, the reality of Christ in us and the desire of God for Christ in us is almost never discussed. When is the last time you have heard a message about death to ourselves, falling into the ground and dying? Wow. John 12:24. Unless the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. spiritual fruitfulness comes out of death. It comes out of spiritual death. We are baptized into the death of Christ so that we can experience that resurrection life. Not too many people want to hear that message. They want to hear, bless me, bless me, bless me. But that's not the way that works. People don't know it, and they don't know that they don't know it. Here we have the essence of Christianity and the very purpose of God, and it is off the table for discussion. Wow. This is what happens when Satan blinds people. And once Satan blinds people to the reality of Christ in them, he can now more easily get them to operate from out of their natural life and convince them that they are living from out of God. This is deception. Amen? This is the spirit of most churches. You know, we have to want to know God more than anything to know God. That was worth coming to tonight for. We really have to want to know God more than anything to know God. We have to desire, it has to be a consuming desire of ours to come to know God. If not, then we will never ever be able to come to know God. Because to know God, it will kill you. Right. It will kill you. But that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Paul was saying, you know. Falling into the ground and dying so that we can come to know God. Again, the reality of Christ and the meaning of Christ in us and God's purpose of forming Christ in us. This is the reason Christ came. Wow. Hebrews 4:19. So that Christ can be formed in us. That's why Christ came. He came that we can be, you know, that we can be formed in us. Wow. Who has John 10:10?
I do.
John 10:10.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Wow. Jesus in his own words said that he came to give us life. Give us life. Now it says the thief. Now don't believe that's the Satan. That's not Satan in that verse, believe it or not. A lot of denominations, and they plug Satan into that. But if you look at that word in the Greek, it's not. It's actually someone that breaks into your house. Someone that breaks into the shepherd fold. Someone that breaks into you. A bad guy, a burglar. That guy comes to kill and destroy. But you know, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have that more abundantly. And the life that he came is not a birth life that Karen gave to our four kids, you know, or Marianne or anybody else, a mother that goes ahead and gives birth. This is a special form of life. It's called a Zoe life. And in the Greek, the Strong's is 2222. And it means to know. It means to know. And the main meaning of that word Zoe is a quickening life by God. A quickening life by God. And I believe that Kathleen tonight experienced that quickening life of God. I don't know if you've ever been out in ministry or you've ever been tired, and all of a sudden you had to get up on the ray and you had to speak, and all of a sudden you got this energy from somewhere. And all of a sudden you just, wow, you know. I know oftentimes when I go overseas and I'm sick, I got diarrhea, I've got problems, you know. But when I get up behind the pulpit and I begin to share, man, I just feel great. I mean, it's just, I don't have any pain, nothing, and I'm just ministering the Word of God. Well, that is the quickening life. That is why Jesus came. He said, I came to give you life. And that word there in John 10:10 is Zoe, the quickening life of God. That's what we need. As we leave 24, we need to leave 24 with that quickening life of God, and then go into 25. Yet, if you would preach what I'm sharing in most churches or on Christian TV, you would either get a blank stare or meet great opposition. But this is how far things have fallen from the truth. Even in those places where there is some little truth on these matters, it would seem that even that it is buried beneath an avalanche of money, members, and the soul power of people. Wow. That's usually what most churches, you know, determine success to be. How many people that we have coming, and how much money we have, and all the things that we're doing. That's not God's measure of success. That's not God's measure of, that's man's measure of success. That's a fleshly measure of success. God's measure of success is how many people have died. How many people have died and been resurrected into the life of God. Man. To abide in Christ by faith, and this is my prayer for me and my wife for 2025. This is my prayer, H. My prayer for 2025 is to abide in Christ by faith, which requires a total surrender to Him as Lord. Wow, it's little L-O-R-D, not big L-O-R-D. Big L-O-R-D is God. Little L-O-R-D is Jesus. And so to abide in Christ by faith requires a total surrender to Christ as Lord. Not because I feel I must. No, 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 no. Because I want to surrender. I want to surrender. Not because I feel I have to do that or I'm being manipulated or whatever. But I want to. It requires that I not only take my hands off of my life and leave it alone to God, but it requires that I want to do so. Not that I have to do that, or God won't bless me, or I won't be able to do that. That's not why I want to do that. I want to do that because I want to do that so that I can come to know Him. I gladly do so. It means that I will birth nothing of myself, and that I will not resort to my flesh to solve what ails me. That is my prayer. That is my prayer for me and my family, which is Karen and even my children, that we will resort to nothing of our flesh to resolve any issues in our life that causes us problems. Wow, that's a tough prayer, but I will tell you that can happen, and that depends upon us, and it depends upon our desire to come to know God in a greater way. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your many mercies, Father. Lord, we thank you for this home group meeting. I will be honest, Father, Lord, and I will have to ask forgiveness for my heart condition at the beginning of this meeting, Father. Lord, you know I wanted so for people to come today, Father, Lord God. And I wanted people to come and pray and you know, have a tremendous time in this home group meeting as at the end of the year, Father. And Lord, you know that my heart was troubled that people would call and said they can't make it. Many people didn't even call and didn't come, Father Lord. But Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Father Lord God, because, Lord, you met us here, Father Lord God, and your work was accomplished, Father. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, for your work was accomplished through the people that came tonight, Father Lord God. Those other people were not needed, Father Lord God. They were not needed, Father Lord God. Lord, bless them and help them, Father Lord, to see their need for you, Father Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father Lord God. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful year in the home group meeting, Father Lord, and we just look forward to 2025 and the wonderful things that you have in store for us. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.